everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Kelly O Show. This is part two of a two-part interview with Lindsay Smith. If you haven't yet listened to part one, please make sure you go back there and listen to part one so the rest of this show will make sense to you.
I've also been judged at health conferences for food choices, you know, where I was at this one conference and there was, we won this luncheon at a health coach conference, and there was like 40 of us. And, you know, this is a health coach conference. They had you could basically be like, I want the keto special. I want the paleo this. I want the, you know, dairy-free this. Like, they had everything together for people because they knew, you know, the type of people that would be coming and what they would need to cater to. And so the waiter went around, and there's 40 of us, and it was a long table. And he goes around to everyone and to ask them if they want the soup or the salad. And this was like in the middle of winter. It was a cold day out. I mean, I think it may have been like early spring, but it was still really cold out. It was like 30 or 40 degrees. And I was thinking to myself, wow, I really want the soup. Like, that sounds really great right now. And so everyone at the table, you went around and everyone was like, oh, I'll have the salad, no dressing. And one, you know, like everything was just like a big thing. And everyone's going around telling them like, oh, I can't have this. Or just, can you actually substitute kale instead of spring green? Like, it was just like this whole big thing. And then they get to me, and the whole time I'm watching everyone order a salad thinking like, okay, clearly everyone thinks this is the, like, they're trying to out-health everyone. Like, everyone was trying to out-health everyone and was trying to, like, up everyone, you know. So it went from, like, the first person ordering the salad with everything to, by the time it got to the last person, they were like, you know, I'm just going to have a piece of lettuce. Like, it just, it got more ridiculous over
just
time.
Just half a piece.
Yeah. And so then but watching this, I felt judged. Like, I felt like, oh wow, what if I get, like, should I get the salad? Then I stopped listening to my body and what my body wanted and started questioning based on what everyone else was doing. And so finally, when it got to me, I was like, but you know what? It's cold. Like, my body right now is saying it, you know, it wants this soup because it would be warming for my digest, like all these things. So I ordered the soup, and I kid you not, it was like 40 people gasped like in the air and was like, oh, like, oh my God, she got the soup. And the woman next to me was like, oh, you got the soup? That must be nice. And I'm like, it is nice. And I'm sure it's going to be. And then when it came out, I was like, this is nice and delicious. Like, it just, but it made me realize, like, here these people are in the health world trying to teach other people how to eat healthy. And they have judgmental and emotional eating habits with food as well, that they are not, that are wavering unhealthy, but they're not seeing it that way because it's like, well, a salad should be good for you, right? You know? And so, that has been a catalyst the past few years, just kind of, you know, seeing that and trying to, you know, be able to relate to everyday people that don't know these things, you know, that we do. And also, you know, people in the industry to say, hey, like, chill out for a minute, you know, like, these are people's journeys. And by you doing this, it's actually counterintuitive. So that's kind of a rant, but where I'm at.
I'm so glad. And you, but I'm really glad that you shared that, because frankly, who else was, I think, we were interviewing the two gals at Fit Bottom Girls, and this subject came up of, you know, if similarly, they were talking about how when we're out to eat, you know, that you're judging what everybody else eats. And then I realized, because I still see this in myself, and I firmly believe that the more we talk about this, you know, number one, I've realized that as we started to have a few interviews, and then I started putting some polls out in the Fitfluential community, privately and publicly, and just asking people, do you have food issues? Do you have emotional eating issues? Do you have disordered thoughts around eating? Do you know that you need to get better? Do you have body image issues? It was overwhelming. I mean, the first poll we did, it was like 75% yes, or people that knew someone. And then the most recent one we did, it was literally like 98%. Yes, okay. People going. And so I think the more that we talk about it and make it not so embarrassing to say, hey, I do this, I've binged, I've done this, that's how we can get past it. So I love this discussion, but I see in myself, you know, like how, and do you see this a lot? And I'm sure you address this in your book, similar to the food experience when you're out to eat. Two examples. Number one, when I buy quote unquote, something that's like a cheat meal, right? And some people go, oh, I don't want to use that word. Who cares? I'm calling it a cheat meal. Okay. Or if I'm going to have cookies or whatever. I feel like I have to tell people around me, whoever it is, if it's my mom, if it's my friend, if it's my man friend, if I'm eating it, I literally feel as though I need to explain to them, well, this is why I'm having this. And I worked out today, and, or it's my fast day, or it's this. And nobody's asking. But the more that, like, other people, we should, the more that we can object and go, hey, eat what you want, like, embrace the cake, then we're not going to have so many of these eating issues, like eating in private, trying to hide what you're eating, being ashamed of what you're eating, feeling judged. I mean, there is a climate in this, and maybe it's not just in the health space, whatever you want to call it, where it is more natural to feel like, oh, I've got to eat kale. Oh, I have to eat fat-free. I have to be paleo. And I think the more that we call that out and start having different conversations, we shouldn't have that feeling. Is that something you address, like women like me that feel if I was going to eat Oreos that I have to justify it to the world?
Oh, yeah. I'm laughing because I have a little section in my kale or book.
Does your book come wrapped in kale?
Right. It's in my book, and it's called Eat Kale, But Don't Be a Dick.
I love it.
Because that's really what it comes down to. It's like, you know what? You eat the kale, but it doesn't, you can eat kale to eat kale. It doesn't have to be pretentious. If you don't like kale and don't want to eat it, that's fine too. And if you want the cookie, great. Like that's fine too. I think that, you know, I think that we're getting somewhere. We're still, you know, we're still a ways out of this being fully, you know, fully, like you said, the more we start talking about it and have these conversations, I think people start to see both sides. I was just, doing a panel with my friends, Maggie and Jarell, Maggie of Eat Boutique and Jarell of Chocolate for Basil. And we did, this really fun panel discussion. And, you know, Maggie, she's incredible. You have to have her on here and talk about these things. I don't want to do her story a disservice by sharing, you know, these intricate things, but she was, you know, talking about how, you know, growing up, she was like her quote, the fat girl. And people, if she would get a salad, people would be like, oh, honey, are you eating enough? Or if the opposite, if she was eating like pizza, they would be like, oh yeah, we figured like someone like you would eat that. And it just shows that, you know, and then I was telling her, so she shared that with us. And then I was saying, you know, I run into that same thing in the health coaching world. Like, you know, I'm this medium-sized woman. And so suddenly it's like, if I'm out eating a piece of pizza, it's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? And if I'm, you know, eating kale, it's like, well, why aren't you thinner? And it's, you know, I think the interesting thing is that you can come at this regardless of your size, your experience, you know, like this is so intrinsic in just a lot of our culture and who we are. And so I think it's just interesting to have these conversations, because I think the more and more that you get with people and we can relate and also say, okay, enough is enough. You know, like these are some of the things that we can do to move forward.
Well, and you know, I think one of the things that first made it struck me was I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and you know, she and I were going back and forth about, we're just obsessing about diet, and I'm so frustrated. And we were just, I don't think either one of us realized it, but we were doing what can be very natural, critiquing our bodies. Oh my God, my thighs are so big, this, that, and the other. We're talking about this and how we need to cut our calories in this. And then it was her daughter that came up and was like 8 years old. And it, later that night, said something about being on a diet. And I just, we both had this facepalm, like horrifying moment of, oh my God, you know? And so, and then there's that whole thing of like, wait, it's okay for us as adults, right? We think it's okay. It's okay for me to beat myself up. It's okay for me to be obsessive and crazed about food and negative self-talk and horrible body image. And like you, you know, feeling like you need to say, I'm a medium girl. Like, why do we have this whole societal thing of women feeling we need to be tiny, tiny, like negative two? Remember when that was popular in the media? Oh, Jennifer Aniston's negative two now. Really?
I was so shocked. I was at an event last week speaking, and it was mainly adults, but some of the parents brought their kids, and there was this young girl. She was probably like, I think she was maybe 12 or 13. And she came up to me and she was like, what can I do to lose weight? And she's like asking me all these questions. And, you know, I said, let's reframe the way that we're thinking about this right now. I said, your body is resilient. It's amazing. It was programmed and designed specifically for you. I'm like, you know, instead of looking at size, let's look at how you feel. You know, do you feel healthy? So we had this whole talk about, you know, let's not compare to other people, because, you know, they may have their own health issues. They may be a certain size, but they may have something else going on. They may be sad. They may be suffering with something. I was like, let's talk about, you know, you and your body, and how can we, you know, reframe this. And, you know, she left there being like, oh, wow, like I don't have to think of a scale. I can look at these other things that, make me feel healthy. And I think just even starting with conversations like that with young women of being able to say, it's not all about this. Like, let's look at these things. And I don't want to say condition them that way, but really showcase that this is the way that we collectively want to move forward, you know?
Well, can it be for, you know, as you were sharing that story, I was thinking that really what a great way to get anybody, you know, if anybody is saying, wow, you know, I just went to the doctor. He said, I mean, we hear stories like this all the time. People start thinking about losing weight or getting healthy because their doctor said they have to, right? Mm-hmm. Like they have a bad, you're pre-diabetic, your cholesterol's too high, you're this, you're that. And then they go, oh crap, I have to get healthy. You know, and it's kind of one of those knee-jerk things. But instead, you know, and you put it so well, what if everybody, and we started making this part of the conversation, that when you decide you want to lose weight, you decide you want to get healthy, the first thing you start thinking about is, I need to start changing the way I look at my body. And I've started to use this whole phrase again of, why can't we start thinking about the body as a temple? You know, you're given one body. It is remarkable in what your body can do. You are remarkable in that your body, your temple is so unique. You have a unique shape. Stop trying. And the other thing you brought up, the comparison game, you know, so two things, maybe we start focusing first on, you know, okay, maybe you're unhealthy. Maybe you're 75 pounds overweight. You know, how have you been treating your body up until then? Do you treat your body like it deserves to be nourished and fed great food for fuel? And do you look at this as like, hey, I want to treat my body even better. I want to, you know, get this temple and the best, I want to make this the best looking, best feeling, best functioning temple ever. You know, why don't we treat ourselves like that instead of punishing ourselves? So thinking about mindset first, attitude first, and then well, let's explore different kinds of foods and see what makes my body feel better. And then all of those things looking better, that happens when you have your mindset in the right place. But yes, that's a whole changing of the conversation that will take time. But what a different way to look at it. And I would think that could be true not only for the younger generation, but for anybody starting. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one thing that you said that, you know, I've been thinking a lot about lately is that, and I wrote about this maybe last year, but also just the shaming around so many things. Like, it's, we want to shame people for everything. And even like people that say they want to lose weight, like that became a shameful thing. But you have to decide where you're coming at that from. Like, are you coming at that from where you said, like, your mindset? Like, is it a place of love? Is it truly a place of, you know what, my body is amazing and I want to treat it right and I want to feel good. And if, you know, if that means, you know, if like my doctor said, you know, this would help, that's why I'm doing it. Not from, oh, well, you know, I want to, you know, really show my ex, you know, or like whatever it may be. Like, I really want to show my ex that, you know, I'm better than the, like, I'm better than his new girlfriend, or, and that's why I'm doing it. Like, you have to just check, I think, from a deep place of why, you know, you're doing it. And I think, but there, you know, there should be like, there should be no shame around wanting to better yourself in general. Mm. And then I think, like you said, I think though, the big part is that it does start with the mindset.
I agree. I've written down like, oh my God, I have so many notes. And do you feel like I barely scratched the surface of emotional eating, but on the other hand, we had so many great gems here. So I'll be real with you. I'm going to be following up and seeing if we can potentially get you back on the show. Because I know that all of these things, it is so, sadly, it's permeating the consciousness of so many females, and it is starting to affect a younger and younger generation. It's very common. It breaks my heart to think that 8, 9, and 10-year-old girls are dieting, and that's very common. And I don't think there's probably a lot of moms out there that don't realize, like, you know, it's one thing to be healthy, but you've got to understand that there are little minds that are looking up to you, and are we setting a really bad stage for, you know, bad mindset that can move into an unhealthy obsession later on. And all of these emotional eating things, they're so common. For everybody listening, you know, these issues, you're so not alone. I have it. I mean, virtually every woman I've talked to has suffered some form of this emotional eating, and we need to talk about it more because there is a way past it. And I do want to say, like, we're getting to the end of our time, sadly. This flew, Lindsay.
I know.
we really do. I have to have you back on the show because I feel like this was your trailer. This was your intro.
Right.
But, you know, first of all, let me ask you this before my next question. When is your book available? When is it coming out? When is Eat Your Feelings out?
So it's out now. It's available now. Yeah, you can find it anywhere on, you know, Amazon. You could go to Barnes & Noble, local independent bookstores, have them as well. And then the one thing, I know you probably have one more question and we're wrapping up, but I want to hit on this is, you know, part of how you were saying we all deal with emotional eating issues in some way. And that's part of what Eat Your Feelings is about, is I actually want to reclaim what it means to be an emotional eater, because for a long time we've looked at it as this really bad and negative thing. And we, it's something we don't want to do, but we were born that way. What do babies do when they are hungry? They cry. It's an emotional response. We have an emotional response to food. We were born that way. And if you can understand that, then it opens up this whole new world of, okay, well, why am I doing this? Let's get to the root of it. Let's get to why. Is it something physical that I need? It could be something physical that your body needs, and, you know, you're craving something because your body actually needs something else. Or, you know, what's the emotion? Is it, is there an emotional response? Was there, you know, a loved one that passed away that made you a favorite thing? Or did a certain day remind you of a memory, and then you wanted a certain food? Like, there's so many reasons why. And then once you get to the heart of that, that's when you can truly transform. So I know that's like a whole other thing we could get into, and I think that would be a good episode, but I just wanted to share, like, that's kind of the essence of, you know, how we can bring it to having the emotional issues and then doing something about it.
You know, I mean, I'm glad that you brought that up, because sometimes we or I can talk about something on this show and not realize it could be coming across a certain way. And as you said that, I realized, like, I hope I'm not coming across for everybody listening as, you know, oh, we have binge eating, we have emotional eating, eating in secret, whatever. Let's fix that and get on a diet. What I want to say, and just what you said, is I am getting to the place, and it's taken me a while to get there, where I can become more comfortable with food, and I'm not judging myself, and I'm more calm. Like when I have an intimate evening and it includes, you know, Oreos, I choose to have, I mean, that's just one of my things. I choose to have Oreos, but yet I still have found myself, I just had some last week, and I found myself explaining why I was having them to my man. And I could tell he was kind of looking at me like, I didn't really ask, but so, you know, I've become more comfortable. I don't judge, but it took me a while to get there.
It's a process. It's a journey. I mean, I'm still on it. You know, it's not something that I think happens for people overnight. And that's why it's a journey. That's why it's a process. It's about knowing your body. And so that way you never have to diet again in your life. You never have to feel, you know, feel that judgmental way. And when it creeps in, you're equipped with the tools on how to handle it. Or you can call yourself out on a podcast and say, hey, I did that last week. And it's like, okay, well, guess what? Now I kind of know that and I can move forward from that. And maybe next time I'm eating my Oreos, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, it's very true. And so, you know, food is to be enjoyed, people. And the goal should be to get past this place of having so much anxiety and stress, because again, that ties back to some of the other things we've talked about and will continue to talk about this year and beyond on the show, which is, you know, life is meant to be enjoyed. The pursuit of becoming healthier should be a treat for your body. Treating your body like a temple is what we should be focused on, as opposed to punishment and deprivation and anxiety around food. We want to get you to a place where, you know, you can, and I pulled up that website that you mentioned, I think it's Chocolate for Basil. What a great website. You have to tell me what Maggie's website is too. But then you can get to that point where, you know, there's so many amazing foods on this planet, and we should be able to enjoy it. We should be able to have an emotional tie to food and get to a better place where we're enjoying life. We enjoy our health. We enjoy feeling better. And there's not this judgment. And that's where we're moving to. And there's so much we can talk about. And Lindsay, I would really love to have you back. So I know we are really at the wall, but this was fantastic. I'm extremely hungry now and I'm looking forward to eating. I'm thinking about like and I have another meeting like in 3 minutes. So I'm like, oh my God, but it's okay. It's all good. So Lindsay, tell people where they can find you online and where they can buy the book.
Yeah. So I'm at foodmoodgirl.com. The book Eat Your Feelings, available wherever books are sold. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lindsay Smith, HHC.
Okay. And we'll be stalking you completely after this. And yeah, I will follow up with you after this to coordinate all of those next steps. For everybody listening, thank you so much for tuning in. Obviously, as I've shared, this is a topic we are going to be addressing on a huge basis, on a regular basis. So if you have questions or confessions, right, and you want to write into us so that we can address these on the show, please know we will keep your contact information confidential unless you give us explicit permission to use your name and or your contact information. So feel free to send us an email with questions to podcast@fitfluential.com. Everything we discussed here will be linked up in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Lindsay, for being on the show. I cannot wait to read this book. I'm already obsessed with your blog and your website. And everybody, we will see you next time on Fit Fluential Radio. Thanks so much.
Thanks everybody for tuning in. This marks the end of this two-part episode with Lindsay Smith. I hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed not only this show, but the rest of the Kelly O Show episodes, I hope you'll take a moment and head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. It would be so appreciated. The more reviews we get, the more that we can reach more people. And that is the ultimate goal of this show. I want to make a wide impact on as many men and women as possible and encourage them to achieve the optimal health and wellness and fulfillment in their life. So that's what I would ask, and I'd sincerely appreciate it. If you have any questions for us on this episode or future episodes, if you'd like to ask about advertising or sponsorship opportunities, or if you'd like to perhaps nominate yourself or someone you know that we interview on the show, you can email Angie@KellyAlexa.com. That's my assistant. Or you can just fill out the contact me form on my website, KellyAlexa.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.